This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
Deep South Dining is the show all about the culture of Southern flavor. From fried chicken and collard greens to shrimp and grits and a glass of sweet tea. Subscribe now to the podcast using any podcast app or download our MPB public media app.
From MPB Think Radio, this is Now You're Talking, a show about the most interesting people and stories of Mississippi. I'm editorial cartoonist Marshall Ramsey. Today, we have Dr. Roderick Little. He's an accomplished conductor, clinician, composer, arranger, drill writer, and instrumentalist, and currently serves as a director of bands and assistant professor of music at Jackson State University. He's a native of Jackson. He grew up in a musical family with a musical background and received his bachelor's and master's in music education and a doctorate in urban higher education administration, all from JSU. He's worked in some form of leadership role for the Sonic Boom since 2012 and has witnessed a plethora of successes and opportunities that the collegiate band has seen, including a recent Super Bowl halftime show performance. And I hope you saw it. It was incredible. Man, Dr. Little, it's so good to see you again and be able to talk to you again. And we were just talking a little bit before off air. You have got the most amazing voice in the world. And so I'm just going to shut up now and let you talk for the next hour. It's incredible. But anyway, congratulations and welcome back.
And thank you, Marshall. It's good to be back.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. And so how many miles have you put on the JSU Sonic Boom car since the Super Bowl? Because I know you have been everywhere telling this amazing story. And I can't wait for you to tell the listeners a little bit about how all this went down, because it's just, it's really stuff that's worthy of a book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely been a whirlwind. After touching down in Jackson, after coming from Vegas, it was actually a camera right there in my face as soon as getting off of the plane, and it hadn't stopped since. But it's all good. It's all good publicity, you know, just for the university, but more namely my students. And, you know, I have opportunity just to speak about it.
Yeah, that's to me the greatest thing in the world. And you and I have talked before. And the thing that I really took away from it was just such an incredible opportunity for your students.
Right.
Yeah, definitely right on that. So, first of all, I mean, we're going to tell the story, and I want you to tell the story. I want you not to leave anything out. You've got a great background, and I mean, I can't think of too many people that have got, they're more honest, bona fide JSU than you are. I mean, you've got everything. You even met your wife while you were in the Sonic Boom. I mean, even your kids have got JSU DNA. I mean, it's a completely JSU. But it's just great that you've been able to turn around and not only give back because of your love of music, but also to be able to give back to the university.
Yeah, that's something, you know, to your point, Marshall, I don't take for granted. You know, usually when people come to a program, particularly a band program, they always have aspirations on going back to the university and being able to teach or serve in any type of capacity. And I get to say that I can do that. And, you know, as I mentioned prior to, I don't take that for granted. It's a passion of mine. You know, it's not just a job. It's something that I take very seriously, because, you know, those students that are in the program, they're like me, you know, in essence, and I get to provide opportunities for them and help mold and shape their future. And by being a Jacksonian just makes it all that much better, you know, by bleeding the blue and really understanding the tradition of Jackson State University and understanding the tradition of the Sonic Boom of the South, you know, I get to take that, cultivate it, and, you know, morph it into the next stage of our future.
I remember people always ask me, when did you know you could draw? When did you learn to draw? And for me, it was like mom keeping me quiet in church. She would give me crayons and pencils just to hush, and then she discovered, oh, you can draw. I was like three, and right, she figured I could draw. When did you know that music was going to be your thing?
Well, funny story, Marshall, you know, that you bring up drawing. I actually started out, and I thought that I was going to be a cartoonist or an artist or something like that.
See, you made
like
a very wise choice. You really did.
So my sister was in Power APAC here at Jackson Public Schools, and she was in music. And, you know, I had a niche for drawing at the time, and I had went and to, you know, to have auditions or tryouts in the art department at Power APAC. But long story short, that wasn't my calling, so I didn't make it. And then my brother was in public school band. And lo and behold, it was my time to go to middle school. And I went to Rowan Middle School. And my mom really pleaded with the middle school band director to let me participate, because typically sixth graders, they don't participate in the marching band. They just kind of learn all of the fundamentals of music first, and then they participate in band their seventh grade year. But my mom pleaded with the band director, said, you know, will you at least let them, you know, try it out, let them perform with the marching band? And he did. He let me perform with the marching band, and I didn't have much experience at all. And that was something that really helped catapult my career in music, and I loved every second of it. You know, it consumed all of my thoughts, it consumed all of my energy, you know, while my friends were kind of going out and doing some other things, playing basketball and sport. I tried sports, but band was just that activity that was always at the forefront of my mind. And the moment when I knew that it was going to become a career of mine, I knew that I loved playing music, I knew that I loved being a musician, but when I found that it was going to be a career, it was actually in high school. My high school band director, yeah, he allowed me to conduct the band, and I was percussion section lead at the time. And he kind of, percussion is always at the back, you know, just kind of watching and monitoring what all the winds are doing. And he pulled me from the back. He said, you know, I want you to warm up the band. And it was just like a random day, and I was surprised, but you know, I was actually honored though to go up there and, you know, be amongst my peers and warm up the band. And he was impressed, you know, because usually sometimes percussionists can be a little mischievous in the back, you know, kind of entertaining themselves and watching the paint dry and all that kind of stuff. And he was very impressed that I actually knew what I was doing in front of the band. And when I was on that podium, it felt like home. And ever since that moment, I knew that this is what I'm supposed to be doing for the rest of my life. And so I was probably about 15.
That's incredible.
At that time.
Yeah.
And then just kind of took off from there.
It to me, you know, and I had the pleasure and the honor, and I've interviewed him like two or three times, William Garfield Walker, mm-hmm. the conductor on that. But it's amazing to me how many incredible musicians have come out of JPS.
Yes.
It really
is.
And what a wonderful program. I mean, what a great opportunity for you. And that band director, and I mean, you obviously have had mentors along the way, mm-hmm. but to be able to just kind of tap you on the shoulder and give you that opportunity, it changed your life.
It did. It totally changed my life. And coincidentally, both of my middle and high school band directors, they went to Jackson State.
Ah. You had no hope of going anywhere else.
it wasn't in my cards. Yeah. You know, just quick and funny story. My middle school band director, Dester Green, he used to show us tapes. You know, sometimes, you know, towards the end of the year, you know, the people are just kind of ready to get out of school. And he used to show us some film. And I always used to notice a band that was in blue. And I didn't find out, you know, until later, that was actually Jackson State's band that he was showing us.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, of course, my high school band director, Dr. Fulton Caston, as I mentioned, he marched in the band, but back then it was Jackson College. He marched in the band back in the 60s. And so he had a whole totally different purview of what the program was. And so just being able to be connected to those gentlemen through mentorship and also understanding their lineage and background and how they were connected to Jackson State overall helped me understand what I needed to do as well.
You know, two of my boys have been in the band. Incredible couple things that struck me. I was a football guy, so I was always tucked under the stadium. Mm-hmm. You know, I wish I'd probably played band. I'd had less concussions. But as you can tell, I've had several. But, you know, the thing about them is it's been good with their math. It's been good with, you know, discipline and so forth. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. As a teenager, you were learning literally some life skills that have served you to this point.
Yeah, no, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, research persists that music, it activates both sides of the brain, you know, the left and the right side of the brain. And so it's not too many activities that, you know, would enlist the brain to interact in that way. And, you know, so with that being said, it improves, you know, students' prowess academically. And again, this is research. This is nothing that Roderick Little is making up.
I was about to say, I play harmonica, and that has not helped my brain whatsoever, or anybody else's brain, actually.
Well, you'll be surprised, you know, in some type of small way, you know, it probably does, you know, because it keeps the brain active. Because, you know, when you play music, you're doing several things at once. You know, you're not just, you know, playing the instrument. You're making sure that your accuracy and pitch is there. You make sure the rhythm is correct. You're making sure that you're listening to your neighbor. You're making sure that you're listening to the full ensemble. You're making sure that, you know, you're sitting properly. You're making sure that you know, your overall aesthetics of what's coming out of your instrument is pleasing to the ear or the listener. So it's a lot going on all at once. And again, it definitely activates the brain, and it's an exercise for sure.
So it was just a great opportunity for you. And then Jackson State came up on the horizon. So then you went off to college.
Yeah.
So you started with the boom when you were a freshman.
Yeah. So okay. I left high school and I served as drum major there in high school, and I went to Jackson State University, and I was a small fish in a big pond. You know, as opposed to when I was in high school, I was the big fish. You know, in a small pond, and so I had to learn all over again the lay of the land. I had to learn about the traditions and the norms of the Sonic Boom of the South, and it was an experience that I wouldn't trade for the world. Because it shaped and undoubtedly molded me into the man that I am today, just kind of learning how to deal with adversity, learning how to, continuously work hard and persist and to be resilient, through hard times, and, learning that everything is not given. I think that was the biggest thing that I learned by being in the program at Jackson State, was that prior to, everything, I worked for what I had, but things came easily, I should say. But at Jackson State, I really had to grind very hard to get, everything that was afforded to me. And so, I worked my way up through the ranks. I became drum major at Jackson State. So I served for 2 years, another great opportunity to shape myself as a band director and musician. And ultimately catapulted my career, by having all of those experiences.
How long was there the span between you graduating and you being working at Jackson State?
So, I worked at, Provine High School for a year. It was a good friend of mine. He was a band director there, and he allowed me to come on as an assistant. And so, that was another opportunity for me to, kind of sharpen my tool with being an educator. And then I went to teach at Lanier High School for 4 years, which was my high school alma mater. So, having another opportunity to teach at my alma mater. So I taught there for 4 years. And so the span, in retrospect, was actually about 4 years from me graduating Jackson State and coming back to Jackson State as assistant band director.
I bet to say those being an assistant band director, it just even that job, because it's the Sonic Boom is like a big deal, and it has been for a long time. So there was a lot of pressure even coming in on that job.
But right.
So it was literally you were learning from the day you walked through the doors.
Right.
And you'd been there, but it was still a lot to learn.
Yeah, it was definitely, a learning experience. Even though I had marched in the program, even though I had experienced the greatness that it is, the Sonic Boom of the South, it's totally different when you're on the other side of the coin, as an adult, as a band director. And so I had to learn the lay of the land. It definitely was not an easy task, but I had an outstanding mentor.
Yes.
And that was Dal Taylor. He was serving as director of bands at the time. And, he really took me under his wing. Every night we used to drive in his Astro van. It might have been a 1990 something. And we just used to talk about band, what I can do to improve, what he needed from me, and just some other tidbits that he thought that I would need, if I were to assume the role or position of becoming director of bands one day. I wouldn't say that he was necessarily broaching me to take on the helm. I just think that he was a servant leader that he wanted to give back, that just in case that opportunity presented himself, that I would be ready to assume that role.
I mean, God bless men and women like that that become mentors. I've got one like that too. He's 96 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He retired at 90.
Yes.
He was a cartoonist for 6 years. But that's how I learned how I do.
Absolutely.
What I do. And for you too, and when you're sitting there talking to the students and when they're listening to you, they've got to have respect for you because you've been there and done what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah. And, and sometimes it's from the span of, a tough love in a sense because, as students, sometimes they don't understand all things, just like our kids. You may tell them, hey, clean up your room. And in their mind, like, why do I have to clean up my room? But we understand the relevance of that.
Wait a minute. You mean your kids don't listen to every single word you say?
They don't. It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah. Wait a minute. I'm the boss.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Mine don't listen either, so I completely understand.
Once you really, get them to understand why they need to do certain things, and then, they make that connection, and then they tend to follow suit. But, we have some outstanding students, so they're always open, but, every once in a while, we do have to, make sure that they understand why it is we're telling them some of the things that we're asking them to do.
Dr. Little, like I said, we're sitting there watching the Super Bowl, my wife and I, so we're eating our snacks, it's halftime, we're watching the performance, it's fantastic, the big scale, the big stage, and I'm looking and I see there's some band folks there, and I'm like, oh, I hope that they didn't rip off the Sonic Boom. And then I was looking a little bit closer, and I was like, that is a Sonic Boom. It was like this wave of excitement. I was so happy for it. It's like, we're on the big stage. Mm-hmm. We're on the big stage, right? I mean, you know, and that's the thing about Mississippi. Mississippi loves it when our people do really well on a national stage, but you were on the biggest stage ever. And so I kind of wanted to get you in here today to tell that story again, because it's just such an inspirational and such a wonderful story.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, to your point, it was the most watched, you know, not just Super Bowl, but the most watched television show, second most watched. So maybe it was the most watched.
After the moon landing,
yeah,
I think.
After the moon landing. So, you know, understanding that particular aspect of it and how many eyes was on that performance is, again, within itself is just life-changing. So how it all came about, you know, we have a great alumnus.
Yeah.
His name is Cortez Bryant, and he reached out to me, and he has a good friend named Jesse Collins, and he reached out and said, hey, Usher is looking for a band to perform for his halftime show. And so he just reached out to me, and it was real kind of melancholy. Said, hey, you want to perform for the Super Bowl? And I was like, of course, I would love to perform for the Super Bowl.
Get back to you. Yes.
Yeah, within the span of a second, I didn't know any details. You know, I didn't know what it was going to entail to get us, you know, to Vegas, but I just knew that I couldn't say no to the opportunity. You know, I wasn't thinking about, you know, what uniforms are we going to wear or all of that. You know, what are we going to have to do? It was more so from the aspect of I knew that this was a once-in-a-lifetime experience for my students and a once-in-a-lifetime chance for our program to be on a stage, such as the Super Bowl. So he gave me some additional contact information, and I reached out to those individuals. One being Usher's choreographer, Akamon Jones, and then he put me in contact with Christian Terry, and then it was another Christian Nesta, and so we all worked together collaboratively to figure out, you know, how the band was going to be incorporated in the show. And so we were looking at the performance aspect, and we were also looking at the administrative aspect as well, like, you know, how will the students be taken care of, you know, what are the things they're going to be doing while they're down there? How will they make it down there? What rooms they're going to be staying in? Because, you know, student safety is our, you know, first and foremost, you know, goal at Jackson State University. And then second to that, of course, we were talking about, like, you know, how would the band be incorporated within the show? What would be the best aspects to make sure that we keep the identity of the Sonic Boom within the show? Because I think what I've gotten from a lot of people is that, you know, that band looked familiar. Those drum majors looked familiar. The movements looked familiar. And so we that was by design, because we wanted to embed the spirit of the Sonic Boom of the South within Usher's show. And so
doesn't that say a lot about, I mean, that's what's so cool about the Sonic Boom is the fact that y'all have your own signature style.
Absolutely.
And moves, and people know it's you.
Yeah, and it cannot be recreated. And so within the show, you know, we actually did the Tiger Run On. You know, that's our entrance. And matter of fact, that was at the actual entrance that the students did. A lot of people didn't catch it because it wasn't, you know, visibly shown on the actual camera during the actual performance. But, you know, there are a lot of videos out there, you know, fans that may have taken the video of the Super Bowl, and so people can actually see us doing the Tiger Run On. Of course, the drum majors doing what they do, and just, again, a lot of spurts of our tradition being placed within Usher's show. And so going through all of the planning, it was time to leave for Vegas. But before we left for Vegas, you know, we had about a couple of rehearsals. Yeah, and we really didn't want to solidify our plans, because I knew once we touched down in Vegas, we were going to have to change a lot of aspects about the show, just kind of understanding how show business works. And so we had a template in place. And then, you know, the next thing, you know, we woke up and it was time to go to Vegas.
Number one, I think number one, there's an awful lot of respect for you and for the program that you were part of, the choreography and being able to put together a show. I thought that was fantastic, too. You know, and when you get that decision, you're like, OK, well, how many members of the band are we going to have? How do we pick, you know, who we're going to take and so forth. So I know there was some degree of that. How did you decide who was going to get to come? Because you didn't take the whole band.
No, we didn't take the whole band. And that was a very tough decision because we have so many great students in the band.
Yeah.
You know, if I could have taken all of them, I definitely would have taken all of them. But however, they only wanted 93 students. And so I you know, typically went back probably about a couple of times. I asked them, like, hey, can I bring my J sets or can I bring some more students here? But, you you know, they kind of wanted what they wanted, and I had to respect their vision right. for what they wanted their show to be, you know, because after all, we were there to support the effort and not necessarily dictate, you know, exactly how we wanted things
yeah,
to
like,
be.
Yeah, like, sit down, Usher. We're here to perform, right?
Yeah, so I had to make sure that I was respectful of that because, you know, they didn't have to call on us to, you know, perform
sure.
for this particular occasion. And so I was very mindful of that particular mandate, and so we carved out 93 students, and, you know, some of those students were, most of those students were seniors in the band. You know, some of those students did well academically. Some of those students, you know, just did some of the things that we asked them to do in the program. They can follow directions. But, you know, and some of those students, you know, I just had to choose from the standpoint of not being able to contact some because we were out for Christmas break during that time, and I wasn't able to make contact with every single student. And so that's kind of how we carved out the personnel for that performance. But again, if I had it my way, I would have taken all of the students, you know, that was in the program because all of them were deserving of that particular opportunity.
The thing that still amazes me was that for the most part, the secret was kept.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I got a 23 and a 21-year-old. You know, I know how this operates.
Right.
You know, sometimes secrets are good. But you pretty much laid down the law with them, didn't you? Saying, okay, you know, if this leaks out, then they may get somebody else.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the students and my staff, we had to sign NDAs.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so it's legal, too.
Yeah, so it was legal ramifications behind it. And then, you know, they also had to sign up on an interface called Backlit, you know, where you had to place your personal information within the interface and then included social media handles and things of that nature.
Ooh, so they were watching.
So they were watching. And so I would tell the students, like, you know, they're watching your social media. So, you know, make sure you're not telling anybody. And if they find out that we've told anybody, then we're off the gig. And, you know, we would have ruined, you know, this opportunity for not just Jackson State, but for all HBCUs because we could not keep that said secret.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I really make sure I imparted upon the students to make sure that they don't share that information because we didn't want to ruin this amazing that amazing opportunity.
But also, too, it's a sonic boom, so y'all are professionals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the students were definitely professionals about the whole thing.
Yeah, they definitely were. And I think, you know, one of the things that I would have been so excited, I mean, I get excited like when my own kids get opportunities to do stuff through college, but this was literally not only a master's degree, but probably a doctorate in show business.
Absolutely.
You know, it really was. They got to see how, you know, the sausage is made. And, mm-hmm. you know, to me, the story of when y'all first walked in there and you saw this guy roller skating around on the stage on the first day.
Yeah, the first day of rehearsals. The first day of rehearsals, you know, we went in, we sat down. They actually gave us the students lunch and their per diem the first day. And it was a guy on stage just kind of rolling around, flipping around, doing splits on skates. And my administrative assistant, Ms. Courtney Lett, she looked down. She's like, "Dr. Lett, I believe that's Usher." And I said, "That cannot be Usher, not on the first day. It has to be a stand-in. That's not him." And, you know, we were asking around, you know, to all of the production crew, and they said, "Yes, that's him." You know,
so that's why Usher's Usher.
That's why
Usher is
Usher.
Because he's out there working hard on the first day. And that's a great thing for your kids to get to see.
Right, right. And, you know, because they understand the notion behind hard work to get excellence, but it makes our job, and when I say our, it's my staff at Jackson State, it makes our job much easier when they're able to see it at such a high level.
Right.
So, you know, again, to your point, they received a doctorate on how to conduct themselves in show business, and not only how to conduct themselves, but also what it takes to be in that upper echelon of performers and having an upper echelon of performance.
Yeah, I probably told you this before. I got to MC a opera concert, which mm-hmm. meant I had to pronounce Italian and French names, which got ugly very quick. But we did like a 4-hour rehearsal before the show for mm-hmm. like a 1-hour show, and it was just. But this was like days of rehearsal, and it was. For good reason, obviously. And to me, it's amazing that, A, they can get the sets in, they can get the people moved in, and everything else. And then you get out there and you do your thing. Usher does his thing. Everybody else comes and does their thing. And it comes together and comes off that seamlessly.
Yeah, it did. You know, initially when they reached out to me and they told me the timeline, the original timeline was 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And so we were able to dwindle it down to a week. And, of course, it was a major concern, you know, not only for myself but all of our administrators, because we're going to be keeping the students out of class for 10 days. And, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, like, you know, surely we can get this done within a span of, you know, 3, maximum of 4 days. But when I made it down there, you know, to your point, I actually saw that we needed each one of those moments, like each one of those days, you know, hours and minutes and seconds, each one of them, they counted so heavily towards what we were doing, towards a final product. And so, you know, again, just kind of yielding toward the expertise of the experts and, you know, coming down for those 10 days, because as I mentioned, we definitely needed all that time to pull all that together.
I think it's always amazed me when you run across professionals on that level. It's like a whole nother level.
Right.
I mean, it really is. They're so focused and they don't mess around. I mean, they might joke or whatever, but they are completely focused on getting it done and everything else. I mean, like I said, once again, I'll repeat this. What a great opportunity for your students to get to see that. And it's not like that they're not used to working hard, because you can't be in the sonic boom and do the things that you do without hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of practice.
Correct.
But like you said, this was a whole different ball game.
Yeah, it was a different level. And, you know, and one of the best things that I think that my students saw from the standpoint of the way not just Usher, but all the choreographers, how they interacted with each other, was that each time they did a run through, they did a run through full out, and they would do 3 run throughs every rehearsal.
Oh, wow.
And I think the students were expecting to see, like, well, you know, this run through, they're just going to be doing, you know, it's going to be more so a walkthrough. But no, they did it as if it was the actual show every single time.
But that really paid off when the actual Super Bowl happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I would think my nerves would be, my stomach would be somewhere near my eyeballs, you know, doing that. But I mean, they had done it. It's deliberate practice.
Right, right.
Which is so important.
Yeah. And when you're prepared and when you do a said thing at a high level so many times, you know, of course there's going to be a hint of nerves there, but you're not as nervous because you understand, like, you know, I've done this and I've done it at a high level so many times. And so, you know, when we entered that stage, the students, I felt the energy of calm from them. It wasn't the energy of nervousness. It wasn't the energy of apprehension. It was just calmness and you know, just the overall excitement and the exhilaration of being able to know, like, hey, I'm getting ready to go into, you know, this stadium here in Las Vegas and perform with Usher during the Super Bowl halftime show.
What was your role during the performance?
My role during the performance was really nothing.
That had to have driven you crazy. I mean, because literally it's like letting somebody else drive your car.
Yeah. What I did was, you know, I basically just was, my staff and I, we were down on the field and we were just kind of watching, make sure all the students met their marks. But, you know, to my point that I made earlier, we had rehearsed so well. So it's just like, you know, raising kids, you know, you try to put as much as you can in them.
You're like a proud parent.
It was a proud parent, and you're hoping, you know, when they get ready to go off to college and go out and experience the world, like all of the things that you taught them, they would display that.
Yeah.
And so at that particular point, I was on the field, to your point, as a proud parent, watching our students go out and flourish and bask in the moment of all of the rehearsals and all of the time that they have taken out to make this come to fruition. And, you know, I'm not a crying type of guy, but, you know, at the end of the performance, you know, when it was done, it finally hit me like, wow, you know, we did it. You know, the students did it. We had this opportunity. Because prior to, everybody was asking me, like, you know, how do you feel? Has it hit you yet? And it didn't hit me because we were consistently working. You know, I was making sure that, you know, the lines were straight and, you know, we had all the notes from the production team and the students had what they needed and they were taking care of themselves and they were, you know, checking in with the professors back home. And so, you know, I really didn't get an opportunity to really take all of the experience in during that moment. But after the performance was over, I think it hit me all at once.
Yeah, you were about 10 feet off the ground and then suddenly
I was elevating. I was in the nosebleeds.
I bet. You're up there right about the same level as Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I was up there with Taylor Swift.
Like,
yeah,
hey,
and all
the
celebrities. Yeah.
So were you down on the field?
Yes.
Okay, you were
down on
field
level.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So did you, like, hey Taylor, here's my card, in case you ever need the sonic boom, because look how good we are.
Well, you know what, Marshall, to your point, you know, the biggest thing that I've gotten from, you know, so many people that were there, yeah. you know, while we were there and also afterwards was that they were so impressed with the students. You yeah. know, they were so impressed with their candor, the way that they carried themselves, the way that they talked, the way that they were respectful, the way that they were on time, you know, just all of those things that people will hope for, you know, when you are in the show business or in show business rather. Yeah. And so a part of that is when you get those type of accolades, people remember those things. And so whenever they need a marching band, and I've already got several commitments from people that was a part of that project, like, hey, we haven't even marching band. We know that we're going to reach out to the Sonic Boom of the South. And yeah. those are the types of connections that we and relationships that we wanted to garner while being a part of that experience.
You know, the one thing I always told my students when I taught was that if you don't show up on time, then there's somebody else who will.
Correct.
You know, and correct. That's such a huge thing. But they now know that the Sonic Boom's going to show up on time and be awesome.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to show up on time and be awesome and do the best that we can do.
Did Usher interact with the students much?
He did. He did. Actually, I want to say it was the second night rehearsal. He actually, you know, spoke to the students and said, hey, you know, we want you to try your best. We want you to just bask in this moment.
Oh, wow.
And you know, live in this moment and just be the best that you can be,
yeah.
you know, from the standpoint of putting your best foot forward. And then, you know, after that, the students had an opportunity to play for him, and he was mimicking some of the stuff that our drum majors were doing. And so, you know, he took a picture with some of the students
nice.
As well.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't just a situation where he, you know, just brought us down as cattle and said, okay, let's do this, and you guys go ahead and move out of the way, and then, you know, we'll never have any type of interaction. But Usher and the whole team was very personable. You know, it wasn't yeah. a situation to where, okay, you guys are just talent. Do what we want, do what we tell you to do. Be where, you know, we want you to be at this certain time, and then that'll be it. But, you know, they treated the students very well. And so the respect was interchangeable, you know. So when students feel respect, they get respect as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole team, you know, that Usher put together was just outstanding. And we couldn't have asked for a better group of human beings to experience that with.
Oh, it paid off. It was a fantastic show.
Mm-hmm.
It really did. I mean, it was fun to watch. You know, you like I said, I've always said the Prince show was always one of my favorites
yes,
in Super Bowl.
Yes.
That was so hard to beat. But that was right out there at the top. And, of course, with y'all being in it, that was my favorite.
Yeah.
Because I'm
yeah.
biased.
Definitely one of my favorites as well.
I still can't believe those. You know, like I said, I taught at Jackson State before the pandemic. It was been a while now. But I did have a Boom member in my class, mm-hmm. which was really cool. And it was, so I would ask all kinds of questions. But the fact that they didn't, the professors had no idea why their students were like evaporating for 10 days. I would have been a little suspect, you know, I don't know,
yeah.
you know. So, but I mean, obviously now that they know, and they're probably, it's like, oh, okay, no,
right.
no harm, no foul.
Yeah, yeah. We had to nestle the wording Super Bowl under special performance. So that's
okay.
the way that we would, you
oh,
know,
okay. yeah.
share it with the faculty and staff. And, you know, to your point, you know, some faculty, you know, and rightfully so, you know, they were testy. Like, students are gone for 10 days. Like, what's going on? And so I was happy to finally share the
yeah.
news. Like, this is what the students were doing. You know,
yeah, did you watch the Super Bowl by chance? That
yeah,
was us.
Yeah, that was us there.
Yeah.
And you know, so, you see, we weren't just, you know, downtown somewhere, you know, out for 10 days. Like, this was, like, literally a once-in-a-lifetime experience for our students. And, you know, we want to provide those opportunities for them, not just academic opportunities, but social opportunities as well. And
yeah, they got to hang out in Vegas too.
Yeah, they got to hang out in Vegas. And as quiet as it's kept, you know, some of those students may not ever have that opportunity again.
I was just saying, I, when they're old like us, right?
Yeah.
They're going to be looking back on that. Okay, when they're old like me, I'll rephrase that because I'm a little bit older. They're going to be looking back on that going, I was in the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. And yeah. and you cannot recreate that.
No.
Yeah.
And, no.
And then there will only be one Super Bowl of its kind
yeah.
that the one that they participated in. There are going to be many after that, but there's not going to be another one where Usher is going to be the headliner and they were the marching band selected for that particular performance.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, seriously, and think about that. Millions of Americans and all around the world got to see it, but also just the people in that stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that could afford one of those tickets. So you were literally all the movers and shakers were watching you too.
Right.
Oh, that's
right.
great.
Yeah.
So how long did y'all get to hang around after the performance? I mean, did you like have to get on the plane and head out pretty quickly, or did you get a chance to decompress a little bit?
Yeah, we did have opportunity to decompress for a moment. We actually went back to the hotel, you know, allowed the students to shower and freshen up and pack. And then, you know, probably 2 or 3 hours after the performance was done, we actually went to the airport and we headed back to Jackson. And that was by design because we wanted to make sure that we get the students back so they can get back to classes and, you know, and catch up and things of that nature. So they did have a small bit of opportunity to decompress a little. But I really, Marshall, we're still decompressing, you know, from everything that has happened.
How many interviews have you done so far?
To date, I've probably done maybe 11.
Okay.
Maybe 10 or 11.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a lot within a span because, I mean, we've been back. We got back February the 12th, I believe. And so here it is.
I know how busy you've been. I'm so grateful you even in today talking to us.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. No, and you know, I revel in the fact of being able to have these opportunities because I get to speak to the excellence of our students.
Amen.
And I get to, you know, for lack of a better term, share the gospel of what we've always known as Jacksonians, you know, how great our students are, how great our band program is, and what we mean to not just Jackson, Mississippi, but also Mississippi and also the nation.
Yeah.
Because that was not only a feather in our cap as a HBCU, but it was a feather in the cap for all band programs. And we had an opportunity to do that. So, you know, any opportunity that I have to speak about this wonderful experience on any platform, I'm always game to do it.
You've got the voice, too. You got that. We may have mentioned it earlier. I know you do have a great voice. I said you could, you know, when Morgan Freeman does retire someday, you could replace him on doing voiceover. But they said that while you were talking on the feed, they were like, whose voice is that?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You may have a side career.
Yeah, no, it was funny because all of the students had in-ears along with all of the field cast and crew. And, the production team and, you know, including myself, we only had one mic to speak to all of those people, and we were all on the same channel. And, you know, after I got done, you know, speaking to the students, letting them know what they needed to do from the standpoint of notes and things like that, you know, I had so many people to walk up to me and say, so you're the voice. I want you to read me a bedtime story. You know, you should go and, you know, just kind of do some voiceover type of work. And so, you know, just kind of doing what I normally do, you don't think about things like that. But I thought that was very amusing to hear them say that, especially the bedtime story thing. That was
really that could be weird, but it could also be kind of fun, too. So, you know. Never know. And you can also do, I'm going to get you to record my voicemail, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this is Marshall Ramsey, and do it in your voice. It'd be great. So on that, like I said, and also, too, and I was throw a bone also, too. You got a new president over at Jackson State, and he showed up. He was there. So that was very cool, too. Yes. I was glad Dr. Thompson was able to come.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely want to speak to our amazing administrators at Jackson State University, starting with President Thompson and his wife, you know, First Lady Thompson. They were both there. You know, I've been at Jackson State a long time, and, you know, we've had, you know, a lot of presidents. And you know, this president is, you know, not only hands-on, but he's present. And, you know, and so he was present there for the students to make sure that he was a conduit to display, like, hey, we're not only here verbally, we're not only here to serve you as administrators, but we're here to serve you, you know, physically as well. And so by him being there, also our provost was there, our dean, Dr. Rico Chapman, our department chair, Dr. Lisa Beckley Roberts, they all were there in support of our students and say, hey, you know, we're here, we see you, and we want to be a part of this amazing experience for you and with you.
We have told the Super Bowl story, which, like I said, I can hear that over and over and over. I just think it's a great story. And like I said, I'm just excited for your students that they got that opportunity. Mm. But you know what? They're in the Sonic Boom. They're going to get opportunities. And the next big one is the Tournament of Roses Parades.
Yes.
That's a big deal.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. So on New Year's Day, the whole nation, they get to turn on that TV and they get to see the Sonic Boom of the South.
And the most entertaining band in the whole parade, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you're allowed to say
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No bias intended.
Yeah.
But they have, you know, outstanding programs from all over the nation to partake in this parade, you know, high schools and college bands alike. And we get to be a part of that as one of the greatest college bands in the nation. So, you know, with that, it's going to take a large price tag. It's going to cost $850,000 to get our students there. And we want to make sure that we provide an opportunity for our students that they won't forget, much like the Super Bowl. And, you know, anybody that's listening to this particular interview, they can support in any way. They can visit this website, www.jsums.edu/roses. And they can give, you know, whatever they feel as though they need to give, or, you know, no donation is too small. Definitely no donation is too large. And so, you know, we want to make sure that we surpass that $850,000 mark so we can provide a student, provide an opportunity for our students like none other. As they travel all the way to the West Coast and represent, again, the state of Mississippi. So this is not just representation of Jackson. This is not just a representation of, you know, a local area in the state of Mississippi, but the state of Mississippi at large and really the southeastern region as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I was just smiling because I know at the Super Bowl, they like major costumes and everything else. But this is obviously a little bit different. When you go march in the Tournament of Roses Parade, like how far do you have to march?
It's a lot of miles, Marshall.
Yeah, I was to say, it's a pretty long parade.
Yeah, I want to say, and I took a preview trip. I took my family to Pasadena with me this past New Year's, actually. And they kept spewing out the distance. And I can't believe I can't recall it right now, but it's anywhere between 5 to 8 miles, somewhere around there. So it's definitely long.
Yeah, and the Sonic Boom doesn't just walk in a straight line. So, I mean, you're going to be, I mean, you got a lot of moving around, yeah, you got some dancing and having a lot of fun. So there's a lot of calories that are going to be burned.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So it's going to be a lot of preparation that's going to go into it, you know, not just from the standpoint of administrative preparation, but also the preparation of making sure that our students are able to meet that demand of marching so many miles within a parade.
So when you're preparing to march for 5 to 8 miles on that, obviously there's music selection and everything else. Is that something that you have free rein on, or do they kind of like say, okay, they want to see what you're going to do, or how does that work?
Yeah, they let us have free rein in regards to what we're going to be playing during a parade, but they just really persist that it be entertaining.
Okay. Well, that's a given. It's the Sonic Boom.
It's the Sonic Boom with a sound.
If you're not entertaining, it's like the world will stop spinning and we'll fly off.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And you know what, Marshall? You know, I'm noticing, you know, more and more HBCU presence, you know, and not just at parade, but just globally, because of, you know, what we're able to bring from the standpoint of entertainment acumen and prowess and just also all of the different elements that we have to share as a band program. So I'm glad that people are taking notice of what we do, because, again, we've known this all along. And, you know, we want other people to know this so we can actually have more supporters of our program to give our students what they deserve.
You know, you as a director, you know, and I'm friends with my son's band director, and I just am amazed at all the stuff he does on a high school level. Mm-hmm. But for you, you get that extra added component now because, like, this is now becoming business.
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
So you actually have to, you know, there's licensing, there's
oh, yeah.
You know, and in a way that's good because, like you said, you know, right now you're raising money to go to the parade, but also, too, it helps fund the band program and helps pour back into and giving new opportunities for the students.
Yeah, and we're utilizing all of these opportunities as to grow deep roots. We want this to be systemic. We don't just want this to be something that is a passersby or just, you know, kind of like a 5 minutes of fame type of thing.
That's right.
We really want to make sure that we're creating opportunities for our students that's going to be withstanding for a number of decades, you know. And that's one thing that I shared with our students when we were a part of the Super Bowl. I said, here we have an opportunity to provide for students not just currently, but also future students. You know, it can be your sister, it can be your brother, it can be even your grandchildren. And so right now we're working hard in this moment to provide opportunities for future Sonic Boom members.
Your kids musical?
Yes.
Okay. Just curious because my kids don't draw a lick, so I just was curious.
Yeah. As you mentioned, when we first started the interview, I met my wife in the Sonic Boom of the South.
So they had no hope.
She's a flautist. So they had no hope at all. She was a band director. Now she's a elementary teacher. I'm sorry. She taught middle school band at one point.
I'm married to an elementary teacher, too. I understand. So she runs things.
Yeah, she does. And, you know, if it wasn't for her and her support, I definitely wouldn't be in a position that I am now. And so, yeah, our kids, they definitely get it honest. My oldest, he started band Last year, he's a percussionist, so he's doing well. And both of my sons, they take piano lessons. So
excellent. Mm-hmm. Oh, very good. I know you're just maybe a little bit proud there.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm super proud. And you know, in the midst of all of the madhouse of keeping the juggernaut of the Sunday Boom of the South going, I always make sure that I make it a point to put my family first. And
did
make
they
time
get a chance
that.
To go to the Super Bowl?
They didn't. They didn't have opportunity to go. We couldn't quite swing the 10 days for them. To miss work and things like that. But you know, I definitely kept them abreast of everything that was going on when I was there in Vegas.
So what was? Because I always love a kid's reaction. Because my kids will either A, bust my chops, or they'll be brutally honest. What was their impression of everything? Were they pretty impressed?
Well, at this point, you know, they're too young to really just understand, and to them, I'm just dad. You know, I'm just regular
old
dad.
Healthy.
Yeah, goofing off in the morning, you know, when we get ready to go to school. They really don't care about that aspect. They more so care about, hey, dad, you know, are you home? Did you have a good experience?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's going to be dad. I think later on down the line, once they understand what the Super Bowl is and its significance, I think they'll realize the opportunity, you know, that I had, you know, with my students at that particular point.
I was going to ask, when you were actually in the Sonic Boom, did you ever get an opportunity to do a big event?
We've done, when I was in the band program, we did have some opportunities, but nothing as big as a Super Bowl.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, it's like, did you get a chance to land on the moon? You know, that's right up there with that. So, yeah, it's kind of hard to top Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah. We actually, we were featured in the EA Sports, I think the NCAA college football game. You know, that was something that
it's
was
coming
very,
back, too.
Yeah, it's coming back.
Yeah, another licensing opportunity right there.
Right. And so we had opportunity to be a part of that. That was actually during my freshman year, and actually the semester before I had gotten to Jackson State, they performed at the NAACP Image Awards.
Nice.
In California as well. Okay. They had opportunity to perform with Cedric the Entertainer, and so you know we've had some major opportunities in the past in our program, and you know I'm just happy to say that I was a director to you know have one of the biggest performances that the band program has ever done.
Yeah, and it's congratulations too. Like I said, you've had incredible. I mean, it seems like yesterday you were named. I mean, literally, but you've had an incredible run so far.
It has been, and you know, it's because of you know ultimately, just being blessed, and then you know also on top of that, having outstanding students in our program, and having an outstanding staff and having outstanding administrators, you know, to support this effort. That's the only way, we're able to make this work, and that's the only reason why we are where we are today.
I'm about to say, joining the Sonic Boom for the students, they know when they come into it that the expectations are already high.
Right.
So it's in a way, it's a little bit easier for you because you know that, you know, no, this is our level. It's like, oh, yeah, if we're going to be a Navy SEAL, you know, there are certain expectations. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. I would say you're kind of on a Navy SEAL level. I mean, you probably do as much work as I would imagine your band camp's very similar to SEAL training.
Yeah, it's definitely like boot camp. And, you know, and to your point, Marshall, we do have those standards. Yeah. And we're always, contending and we're always mindful of building on those standards and those expectations because, you know, our goal is to be the best band in the nation.
Yeah. So. Well, I think you definitely were on Super Bowl night. I think you won that one. You really do. Is there anything, like I said, that I mentioned before, obviously you've got the Rose Bowl coming up. Folks, once again, I want you to throw out the website again so people can donate.
Yes, www.jsums.edu/roses. They can go and visit at any time. We actually have a presidential tour going on right now that I want to make mention of. So our president and all of his staff and administration, we're going and we're visiting different high schools here in the state of Mississippi and also outside of Mississippi because we want to make sure that we increase our enrollment. And again, that's part of the reason why we were happy to be a part of the Super Bowl because we want to increase our enrollment at Jackson State University. And a part of that initiative, as I mentioned, is a presidential tour that we're doing currently. We're going to be going to Memphis, Tennessee. We're going to be visiting Overton High School. We're going to be visiting Southwind High School. And there's another one as well. So we're definitely going to be there in full force. We're taking Jackson State on the road. And again, we want to make sure that all students that are interested in Jackson State University to go and apply. And we want you here. And we want you to gain the experience, know, that I had as a student. And we want to make sure that we challenge you, and we want to make sure that we challenge your mind, and we want to make sure that we change your life.
So when you're on the road like that, do you bring some of the band members and have a little bit of music for them?
Yes, we're going to have our band there. We're going to be traveling.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, our chorale is going to be traveling as well. We have student ambassadors that's going to be traveling with us. So again, they're definitely going to get that Jackson State energy, you know, in Memphis on tomorrow.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
So yes, like I said before, you have definitely put in some mileage.
Yeah, I definitely have. And
that's a good thing.
And I appreciate you, Marshall, for allowing, you know, me to have this platform. And, you know, again, I just want to go on record and thank everybody that has been a part of this, you know, my family, my wife, you know, the administration at Jackson State University, President Thompson and his administration, my band staff, and last and certainly not least, and more importantly, our students at Jackson State University.
Well, I think for me personally, one of the great things that's happened for this whole thing is I've got a chance to get to know you, too. And I'm very impressed and very happy for you and happy for the students, too. They got the success.
Yeah, thank you, Marshall.
Yeah, too. And, you know, there was a football coach at JSU for a while that was pretty big that put a spotlight on it. But I'm glad that y'all have been able to get the spotlight as well. That's fantastic.
Yeah, you know, one thing that we always say, you know, if there was anything that has been constant with Jackson State, there's been a lot of things. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, one thing that we can hang our hat on is that the Sonic Boom of the South is always going to be constant. It's something that our alumni and fan base always can be proud of, and I'm happy to, you know, to have a hand in keeping that going.
Was it, you know, well, before we finish up, when you got that call that said you were going to be in charge, did you like lay in bed at night with your eyes as big going, oh, no pressure whatsoever?
Well, you know what, Marshall?
Here's the keys. Good luck.
Yeah, it was kind of, you know, like, here's the keys, you know, good luck. But again, I had great mentorship, you know, from my predecessor. But, you know, you can never be prepared, you know, to take on a program such as this one. And so to your point, like, yes, I definitely had, you know, a lot of sleepless nights. And on top of that, Marshall, I got, you know, hired as director of bands right in the middle of COVID. So not only did I have to figure out, you know, how to
do a socially distant show.
I had to figure out how to be director of bands on top of, you know, meeting all of the CDC guidelines to make sure our students were safe. So
it all paid off.
It did. It all paid off, and everything happened for a reason.
Thank you so much. And hey, thank you for listening. A special thanks to our guest, Dr. Little, for joining us today. And if you'd like to hear this or any past episodes, subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast app on our MPB Public Media app. Now You're Talking is a production of MPB Think Radio, with the episode and podcast produced by the wonderful Lacey Alexander. And join us again next Monday at 10 a.m. I'm Marshall Ramsey. Y'all have a great week.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.